my pee. I'm just see how long I can go because I don't feel like getting up right now because I just hit record. But I felt my bladder hit as I pressed record, and I was like, dang. I got to pee.
Children.
Sheesh. straight old greetings. Just greetings, strangers. No more boo, just greetings. I'm Britt.
And I'm Dee.
And welcome to another episode of
It's a Strange World After All,
the podcast where... Where we just... She was fixing her mic. It threw me off. The podcast where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, and all of the things that keep the world strange. Welcome back, Dee.
I know we had to take a, not a hiatus, but because we didn't have an episode last week, right?
I couldn't. I went to export it and I couldn't. It was too big of a file. We were on a, what do you call it? A technical sabbatical.
Yeah. Unfortunately. We're working on it.
We are working on it, you know. We're baby podcasters. Technically, I'm clicking my pen. See, look, we're babies. Technically, we're the toddler. We are.
No, just
I'm saying the podcast itself, not us as individual. Oh, I know. Shut up. We're toddlers, and you know, we're still just figuring out how does that song go? Taking the long way around, or something. Taking the harder road home, or how does that sound? You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know
how it go.
I don't know.
I don't either, but you get you at home get the point. You listen to this, get the point. We taking the long taking each day at a time.
I'm a little not off, but I took some
Lord. What you take this time?
I took some ashwagandha.
Oh.
So I'm a little, like, mellow. Even though you can't really tell either way.
I was going to say you. That's funny. It's funny that, like, your outside demeanor is always mellow, but, like, your inside is like that meme with the dog that the room is on fire. And he's just like, this is fine.
Yes.
That like is. Your inside is the fire and then you are the dog. Like,
yeah,
this is fine.
Every day, every single day.
That's funny.
Yeah, so
wouldn't be the same without
you. I took it because it's supposed to be good for like anxiety and stress relief.
Yeah, I used to take it in my when I used to do, this is not an ad, but if anybody from Take Care is listening, you definitely can sponsor us. I used to take Care, the little vitamin specialized packets, and it suggested it for me. So I used to take it. I liked it.
Yeah, I got a little scared because I was looking at the side effects. And I was like, Lord, because that's probably why my stomach growls either way. So, because one of the side effects was like an upset stomach.
Oh, okay.
But y'all hear my stomach almost every episode, so.
Yeah. Be like, hey, I'm here. Hi, Mom. Shout out. Pew, 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 pew. Shooting up the block. Pew, 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 pew.
That's crazy because it never does that until we start recording.
That's funny.
Okay. In today's episode, we discuss the Melanie Uribe case. Melanie was abducted and murdered while on her way to work. Her body was later discovered with the help of someone claiming to have had a vision about where she might be. Was this a true act of clairvoyance or deception?
This is an interesting one. How did you stumble across this one?
I was watching random episodes of Unsolved Mysteries on YouTube. And I just saw this. Don't know the season. Don't know. Don't know the episode.
Ah, Jesus, the technical difficulties.
Can you
Hello,
still hear me?
Are you there? Yeah, I can still hear you.
Okay. Lord.
Lord.
But yeah, the episodes is just random. They're not listed on YouTube. Like, the description is not listed, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Melanie Uribe was a 31-year-old nurse at Pacoima Hospital in Burbank, California, and a divorced single mother of an 8-year-old son. On her way to work in her pickup truck, witnesses saw two men abduct Melanie by forcing their way into her truck while she was waiting at a stoplight. When she failed to show up for her shift at the hospital on the night of December 15th, 1980, Melanie's employer called her home but got no answer. She was considered reliable and punctual, so fearing the worst, the police were called. The next morning, her truck, which had been burned, and her nurse's uniform were found.
So, 2 days later, on December 17th, a 32-year-old shipping clerk at the Lockheed Aerospace plant named Etta Smith heard about Melanie's disappearance and the house searches the police were conducting on the radio. Despite not having any prior knowledge of the case, Etta immediately thought to herself, she's not in a house. As soon as the thought crossed her mind, she claimed she had a vision.
In her vision, she saw a canyon and a curving road, shrubbery, hills in the backdrop, and a dirt path leading to something white. Etta believed it might have been Melanie's uniform and that this vision was her clue to her location. She didn't know the name of the place, but felt like she knew the way to the location. Etta left work early to talk to the police. Was this something, I don't remember if it comes up, was this something that she had done before? Like, did she identify herself as a psychic, or she just had a random vision? Do we know?
Not at the time, because I think this was like maybe the first case that she had actually helped with. But I think it was more of, if she was getting visions, she would like ignore it, basically.
Oh, okay.
And she didn't take it serious because this was actually serious.
Okay.
So I think after this case is when she started actually working with police.
Okay.
Yeah. Detective Lee Ryan, despite his skepticism, felt Etta was credible and decided to see what she knew about Melanie's disappearance. Etta pinpointed the area where she believed Melanie's body was on a map, a remote part of the San Fernando Valley, Lopez Canyon, above Lakeview Terrace. Oh, that don't have nothing to do with this. I was thinking of that's the name of the movie, right? With Samuel L. Jackson, when he was that crazy cop.
Is that the name? Because I was like, why does that sound familiar?
And that's based on a true story, too, I think.
Yeah, I thought so. Or true events.
Yeah, because he was harassing that, because it was like an interracial couple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That had nothing to do with this.
No.
But that just made me think of that.
That's okay.
Okay. She had a strong feeling Melanie was there and had an overwhelming urge to look for her as soon as possible.
If this had happened to you, what would you have done?
If I had a vision?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I would have talked to the police, but I would have did it like anonymous.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Because I know what's about to happen with this.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
Fearing she wasn't being taken seriously, Etta searched the area that day, that same day, with some family members. As she got towards the top of the canyon in her car, she felt what she referred to as a trauma and became certain that Melanie was in the canyon. Deciding to drive down the canyon one more time, Etta noticed fresh tire tracks, and she felt the same trauma and somehow knew this vehicle was involved.
Oh, I thought you were about to ask a question.
I thought I was, but I... When she's saying trauma, she's saying like something like physically happened to her body, like, or she just felt like a, what am I trying to say, like a strong intuition that something bad happened.
Yeah, so it had to do with her not actually feeling what happened to her, but you know what I mean? But like knowing, like, yeah,
something. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because what happened to her was trauma. Like, it was traumatic. So I'm thinking she's feeling what Melanie felt in that moment.
Yeah, that's what I was.
When it happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, not, again, not like if she was beaten, she wouldn't physically feel it. But like, if she felt fear, then she would feel that fear. Or.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Has that ever happened to you?
No, not that I remember. Trying to think. I don't think so.
Yeah, I was going to say the best example I could think of was when we went to, for me, was when we went to Memphis. And I was just like, all of a sudden, like before she told the story, I was telling my mom, like, I felt really sad. And she was like, that's weird. I said, yeah, I know. I kind of feel like hopeless. And then the lady pointed out that window that people were, trigger warning, jumping out and committing suicide. And I was like, oh, whoa, that makes, I felt like that. And then Kilo Monument in East Texas, Kilo Monument that we attempted to go to, but my brother wasn't about that life. Nobody in the car was about that life. So I had to turn around.
Oh, man, that was hilarious. But
it was hilarious, but it was it was hilarious and not but hilarious and remember that video Ma sent hilarious and scary at the same time, I think. And it sucks because, and we off topic, that's okay. It sucks because nobody but us can explain or like understand how we felt, because it really was like, if I go straight, it literally kind of felt like Thelma and Louise, like when they were about to jump off that cliff, because it was like you couldn't see anything.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, there could have been a pond back there. There could have been the KKK. Anything could have been there. And
we
I was just ready to go.
In a trailer park, and it was pretty sketchy.
In the sticks.
Yes.
But anyway, I say that to say that area is an area that's kind of like that, like where you're supposed to feel their trauma. And I remember going there in college with a group of friends, and the entire way there, like, we were giddy because, you know, we're young, we're 19, we're on our own, we're having fun. We were talking the entire way there. We got lost and then we stumbled on it. As soon as we got out of the car, everybody like got quiet, but it wasn't like everybody was afraid, because some people you could tell they weren't afraid. We just kind of felt like really bad and like really sad and like overwhelmed with emotion. One girl cried. Yeah. I was like, yeah, this is. And then as soon as we left, you couldn't feel it anymore. So I was like, I feel like I've had that sensation before.
Yeah. So I think that perfectly describes like when she said trauma.
Ooh, so. not bad for
you better not.
Insert there. I won't say the word, but not bad for a DD. This BB is a DD.
Further down the canyon, she stopped again when her daughter noticed something strange in the brush. Etta started going towards it and saw a body with white nursing shoes. The landscape was exactly how it had been in her visions.
That is pretty amazing to me.
Yeah. And scary to
and
me.
And scary.
Because I don't know how I would deal with that. Like, constantly getting visions.
I feel like I don't get visions like, that's her raven, because I guess that's what you picture when you think, oh, she had a vision. But I feel like my dreams are sometimes visions. Like, I've predicted a couple of things in my life, and I'm just like, this is weird, but also pretty cool. And I want to try to see if we can grow that, because I feel like everybody's capable of it. I feel like it's almost like a limitless, like a brain thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you start studying it, you get better at it.
Side note.
Yeah.
But I feel like we should do an episode like around that, because Keisha is always talking about like lucid dreaming and all that. And then.
Yes.
Because I've mentioned it in a few episodes that I feel like I may be, because you know how you say how you sense stuff, like how you feel stuff. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have that potential, but I just ignore it.
Yeah.
Because I mentioned that I feel like I'm clairaudient, because I used to hear my name a lot. And then I researched it and it was saying, besides like schizophrenia and stuff, that it's basically spirits trying to communicate with you, like calling your name, trying to get your attention.
Ooh, yeah. Maybe.
And I used to hear it all the time and I just ignored it and it kind of went away. But like every now and then I'll hear it, but I still ignore it. So, which is weird, because it would be like them saying like my actual name, and then sometimes they would call me D. So I'd be like, what in the world?
So next time you're gonna answer is what I, because you said you ignored it. Next time you can be like, huh? Who is there?
I don't know what about all that.
From me? What are you waiting for?
No, I'd be more like Tyrese.
What
do you want from me?
Oh, what do you want from me?
No.
An autopsy determined the body was indeed Melanie Uribe. She had been robbed, stripped naked, raped, and beaten to death. Etta's visions had been confirmed, but Melanie's killers remained at large. This is when suspicion fell upon Etta. The evening after Melanie's body was found, Etta was arrested. She was questioned by detectives about how she knew so many details surrounding the case. Okay.
See, yeah, this is why I said I would do it anonymously, because they went right to her. It's not funny, but it was like the episode, it just cut to her in a jail cell. And I was like,
yeah. They were like, let's celebrate. She found the body. She did her due diligence. Like, and then boom.
Yeah. And the act, I was like, the actress. Give her an Oscar, because she was going through it.
This is on Unsolved Mysteries.
Okay,
I'm gonna have to trust it.
Yeah, because I'm like, dang. And I don't know how soon they arrested her, but I was like, they was like, well, there's no evidence, we don't know who did it. She knew where she was, so it had to have been her.
And then they probably didn't believe it. They probably didn't believe in psychics, or everybody thinks that it's woo-woo. A lot of people, and I'm gonna say everybody, a lot of people think that it's like woo-woo.
Because the detective that she went to at first, he actually, I don't know if he actually believed her, but he was like, well, we might as well, you know, give it a shot.
Oh, yeah.
My
thing is, though, what would have been her motive? She didn't even, she had no ties to to Melanie.
Mm-mm. Okay. And then I don't think it was too soon for them to be offering up like rewards and stuff. So I don't know. There was no motive. Oh, I thought you was about to say something else, but you was frozen. No,
well, I was thinking, well, maybe they didn't in the beginning. Maybe they didn't believe that she actually killed her. Maybe they believed that she knew more than she was letting on.
Yeah, that's gonna come up.
Oh, okay.
After hours of questioning, Etta was given a polygraph test. She passed it. However, detectives told her that she failed. A detective's sworn testimony was that she was trying to be deceptive, even attempting to control her breathing. The police believed if she wasn't involved with the killers, her information was coming from gossip in her neighborhood or from someone who had heard something but was afraid to come forward. The next morning, Etta was formally charged with murder.
So they didn't necessarily believe that she was the one that committed the murder, but that she knew something or was maybe the mastermind behind it. Like, you know what I mean? She just didn't put in the physical work.
Because they did charge her with murder.
That is insane.
And then the
to
fact
me.
That they lied to her about, because they told her she failed the lie detector when she passed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they told her she failed because they thought that she was lying, basically.
Yes.
I'm like, what kind of, who are these cops?
Them 1980s cops. There's still, you know, a lot of questionable things going on there.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's formally charged. Shortly after being charged with Melanie's murder, a police informant said he heard one of the killers bragging about the murder in his neighborhood. The man was arrested and confessed, implicating two more men in the crime. Etta was released on December 21st. 20-year-old Lewis Carnell Morgan and an unnamed 17-year-old and 21-year-old Spencer Nelson were taken into custody. They were all convicted and are serving time in prison. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God that he was running his mouth.
Snitched on. Yeah. I was about to say, because Etta would have been, man, that's messed up, though.
That is messed up. I don't think,
though.
She was
just trying to help.
Because she hadn't gone to trial yet, right? They were just charging her with murder. I don't think that she would have gone to, like, I don't think that trial would have.
Yeah, because there was literally no evidence.
Yeah, none. There was no evidence, no motive. Well, the only thing that you have is that she led you there, but she's saying that it was because she had a vision. Why would I implicate myself like that unless it's some sick game that I'm playing? I guess. Which now it's like, ooh, now that gives me an idea for like a story or like a scripted podcast. You could have like a psychic that's actually, I don't know, they're posing as a psychic, but they're killing.
Of Law and Order SVU.
No way. Where the psychic was responsible
It was weird because the psychic was, what's that dude's name? Martin Short.
Oh.
Yeah, he had killed and raped a woman and he was pretending to be a psychic and he basically was helping them trying to solve the murder, but it was him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ah, that's interesting. They do everything.
Because I was Martin Short.
Been on the air for 70 seasons.
Man, and they finna start their new season. That is my show, even though I haven't watched it in a while. But since helping break this case, Etta Smith has assisted several police departments and crime victims using her psychic abilities. Before I did that, I would sue.
I said, sue. I said, I would not have even helped them. Fuck them. I don't want somewhere else.
I get that, but then at the same time, though, it's like, but I'm like, you want to help victims, though.
That's true. As long as she's getting paid, they would have to pay me. And
like I don't think
suit.
I don't think she gets paid for it. She just does it.
You finna pay me. You finna pay me because of what you put me through.
Like, if it were me, I wouldn't charge people.
They gonna have to pay me. The one where she was charged.
Yeah, that's what I, yeah, pay. That, yeah.
If you I want my services. Well, yeah, that too. I definitely.
Sued.
Well, you're right. I need to win my lawsuit and then I'll help you.
Yeah.
But, well, good for her. She turned that around.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, like, a lot of these people who claim to be mediums, I don't believe them.
Mm-hmm.
But her the fact that she actually broke the case, I'm like, okay, she's, you know, the real thing. But like, and then it was another lady, because I was watching, because it kind of threw me off, because I was watching one of those ghost shows, and a lady was like a medium, and she solved a murder. And I was like, wait a minute, what? But yeah, so these other people, that's how I normally be like, okay, this person is a fake if they charge people. That's when I'm like, no, I don't trust this person.
What about people who give like tarot readings? Or is that different?
That's different because that the other one, actual victims are involved. Like you're taking advantage of people's families.
That's true.
Yeah. So yeah, her, I think she's the real deal. Unlike
real deal.
Sylvia Brown, RIP. But I could not stand that lady. And then she got her own death wrong. Like she predicted her death and that ain't even how she died. So I'm
that is what is not supposed to be funny, but is funny to me that she got her. Cause it's like, you're like, okay, this is how I'm gonna die. And I'm ready. Like I'm preparing myself for this. And then that's not how you die. And you're self-proclaimed psychic and you've done all this. You've done all these things.
You got to look up, y'all, people, whoever is listening to us, look up her clips on YouTube. Because she sat up there and tried to tell this couple that their son was murdered. And they were like, no, he died in his sleep. And then she was like, well, he was... She said something about a bullet going through the wall and hitting him in the head and all. And they were like, no, he died in his sleep. And she was like, well, that's what you think happened. And they were, I was like, I was stressed out watching that. Because I'm like, because I think they were just trying to ask her, like, if he made it to heaven or if he, how's he, you know, if he has anything he wants to let them know. And she was like, he wants to let you know that he was murdered. And they were like, no, he passed away in his sleep. And she was like, no, he was shot. And they were like, they were literally going back and forth. I'm like,
yeah,
what is wrong with her?
Devil's advocate. What if another spirit? Hear me out. What if she just intercepted another spirit? What if another spirit was like, I'm trying to get my story out. This is how I died.
Okay, or how about you remember, because the dude went viral, the one who, when that guy had those girls locked up in his house, the one Mike Epps was like, one of the girls, their parents were on Montel Williams, because she used to be on Montel Williams all the time, and she told them that she died.
Oh.
And the mom passed away thinking that her daughter was dead.
Oh,
and she was, and they were like, well, we still have hope that she's alive. And she was like, no, I'm sorry, she's dead. And then I think she said something about her body being in the river or something.
Oh, never mind. I can't explain.
And I was like,
what? Just out here giving misinformation.
Yes. Because I mean, like, they were saying, like, sometimes she was right, but it was on stuff that you could, like, Google, basically.
Easily. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, that is all, folks. Any final thoughts on Melanie Uribe?
I think I pretty much, I think Etta Smith, I feel like she is an actual psychic or medium, whatever. No, I don't think those are the same.
I mean, they have similar.
It's similar, but I think mediums more like they speak to the dead and psychics have visions.
Now you got me. Oh my gosh.
But anyway, I do feel like she's a psychic.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder like if they would have even solved the case if she hadn't stepped in.
Oh,
because it didn't seem like they had much to to work with. And then the place where her body was found, I don't think she would have been found like as soon as she was.
So it could be that the case would have still been unsolved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In my opinion.
That's possible. Hold on.
You trying to look up the difference between a...
Yeah, because I was curious.
Yeah, I think it's just psychics. They have visions. Mediums speak to the dead. But then some mediums have visions too.
Yeah, that's what I think. Maybe we should do an episode on. Because I think medium is like a, just more of an extreme degree. Because like a psychic, I believe, can interact with spirits too. But maybe it's on like a milder connection. Coming, get back to you on that. Because now you got me curious. Because I'm like, okay, clairvoyant, medium, psychic. Like, okay.
And then on that, I think it was that same episode of Unsolved Mysteries. They had a guy, because they were trying to test out if mediums are actually real. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember that show, The Mentalist.
Yes, but I never watched it.
So it's kind of like that. So people are saying like mediums and psychics are like scammers because they're pretty much body language experts and they ask you questions to get. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they ask you questions to get some kind of reaction and they like go from there. And so they had a guy who was supposed to be a medium and he was like in a room full of people and they gave some people like fake backstories and stuff like that. And he was about like 50-50. So I don't know.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe it. I do think a lot of them are scammers because they do pick up on like little cues, like your reactions. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like, yeah, a lot of those that are like in media or mainstream, I think they are the ones that may be scammers, but there are a lot of everyday average Joe type of people that have those abilities and either don't realize or don't talk about it for whatever reason. That's what I think.
Yeah. Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, Twitter at Pod Strange World, and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please write a review. Please and thank you.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. What did you think of this week's episode? Do you believe that Etta is a real deal? Do you believe Etta Smith? Do you believe that she really did have a vision, or do you think there's something missing? I don't know, or that she still had something to do with it. Also, if there's anything else in the world of strange or true crime cases that you would like us to cover, let us know. If you have any personal stories involving true crime or the supernatural, we would love to have you on the show and share them with our listeners. We are doing movie reviews of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre. So if you have any movies or documentaries and want to hear our uncensored, unsolicited opinions on them, you can email those submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platforms D mentioned. Even if you just want to say hey there, we'll be here.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of It's a Strange World After All.
And thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, as always, for keeping it strange with us.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.